were expecting that we would breeze on through the book of Exodus. Hopefully you figured out now we kind of are taking our time and making sure we get everything we find in every chapter, every verse. And, sometimes as we make our way through the Bible, we get to enjoy talking about the death that Jesus died to pay for our sins. Sometimes we get to enjoy talking about his glorious resurrection from the dead. Sometimes our discussion leads into areas of joy and blessings. And sometimes leads into areas of rebuke and correction. And every now and then we have to just slow down and cover a matter of confusion and misunderstanding or even outright error. And one of those times is tonight's lesson. We ran into this matter of the Sabbath in chapter 16. And so we have to address it. We can't just pass it by. All right? So tonight's study will be on what the Bible says about the Sabbath. And then next week we'll proceed into chapter 17. Because this is a big subject, big topic. It'll take our whole lesson tonight to cover it. All right? First of all, there are people, even here in Kuwait, who believe that the Sabbath is a Christian matter, a matter pertaining to the New Testament church. And so they meet on Saturday, supposing that by doing so, they're keeping the Jewish Sabbath, which has somehow become the Christian Sabbath. And then you have other people, well-meaning people. They meet on Sunday, and they refer to that as the Sabbath day, which is, well, it's incorrect. It's not right. So we're going to take some time tonight and take a look at what the Bible, the Word of God, actually says about the Sabbath. Wouldn't that be a unique perspective instead of somebody's opinion? We'll just go by the Bible. First of all, Sabbaths are observed on different days in the Bible. Sabbaths are observed on different days. According to Leviticus 23 and verse 39, the first day is a Sabbath day. They kept the first day as a Sabbath day. All right, now we're not going to talk about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because different calendars are going to vary. We're going to have differing arguments on that. But for the sake of our discussion tonight, let's make the first day Sunday. Leviticus 23:39 says, "Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath." Now you make what you will of that, but that's not the 7th day being observed as the Sabbath day of rest. That's the first day. And verse number 39 says also the 8th day. All right. Then in Exodus 20, verse number 8, this is the one so many people know about. They're familiar with it because it's part of the Ten Commandments here in chapter 20. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." So, the Sabbath can be scripturally, according to the Old Testament law, the first day, the 7th day, or the 8th day. So for you to say somebody has to meet on this day to keep the Sabbath, Well, to me, that just displays an ignorance of the Word of God. And, well, we don't want to be ignorant, do we? All right, second, Sabbaths are of different lengths. In Exodus 16, the Sabbath is one day long. In Exodus 20, the Sabbath is one day long. In Leviticus 23, we'll go there. Leviticus 23, the Bible says, starting in verse number 5, Leviticus 23:5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation, an assembly. You'll get together and worship together in an assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. All right, so what we find in these verses, Leviticus 23:5-8, is that you have a Sabbath with the holy convocation. Get the assembly together, all the people, for worship on the 14th day, okay, and then the 15th, which is called the first day, but you have a Sabbath rest 2 days in a row then, okay, and then another one on the 7th day, okay. In Leviticus 25, Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 4, the Bible says, but in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. So there, in that case, a Sabbath is 1 year long. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Second Chronicles chapter 36 and verse number 21. 2 Chronicles 36:21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. 70-year Sabbath right there. Now, before someone says, our church keeps the Sabbath, it would be good for them to know what a Sabbath is. Before they say, we are Sabbath keepers, it'd be good for them to have some idea of what they're talking about. The Sabbath is not Saturday. That's found nowhere in the Bible. The Sabbath is one day long. We saw that it could be 2 days long. It could be 1 year, or in this verse, 70 years long. Or according to Hebrews 4:9, it's forever, eternity. There the Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's a rest, okay, in eternity. So there's not a church in your town that keeps the Sabbath, that truly keeps the Sabbath. And that's pretty easy to prove by the Bible. But unfortunately, it seems they're not that interested in what the Bible clearly says. Number three, the seventh day Sabbath, that seventh day Sabbath, was changeable. It moved, being observed on two different days each year because of the additional Sabbath at Pentecost. For example, 15 Abib, that first month of the Jewish calendar, the 15 Abib, that was Sabbath Saturday, let's say, to start with, and so it would be for 7 weeks, 49 days. The 50th day would be Pentecost, which was also a Sabbath. Now the next seventh day Sabbath from that would be, it would fall on a Sunday. So it would be, and it would remain there until Pentecost the following year, where it would move again. Okay, so then the Sabbath would be on Monday, and then the next year on Tuesday. And so that Sabbath, that seven-day Sabbath, it moves. So the Saturday Sabbath that people insist upon today, that just doesn't work. The double Sabbath at Pentecost moves the Sabbath day forward one day each year. So only every 7 years would the Sabbath day be Saturday. But the church in your town that says that they keep the Sabbath, they don't know that. And if they did know it, like I said, they wouldn't care, because they're not trying to go by the Bible anyway, really. They're trying to go by a few things they took out of the Bible, which they didn't understand and don't understand. Number four, the Sabbaths were to be a delight for rest. According to Isaiah 58, we won't go there, but it tells those Jewish people that that Sabbath day that God established for them was for them to be a delight, to be a rest, and not be a burden. God didn't give the Sabbath to people to bog them down or to tie them down or put them under some kind of forced obligation. He did it to free men from their labors and their toils, and so that they could worship and pray. Number five, the Sabbaths were for Israel and proselytes to Judaism only. Exodus chapter 16, verse 29, we saw last week, says, "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath." Not you and me. He's not talking to us. He's talking to those Israelites, children of Israel. He didn't give it to the Egyptians. He didn't give it to the Canaanites. He gave it to the children of Israel. Exodus 31, and this is clearly established in many places in the Bible. Exodus 31, verse number 13, 31:13. Bible says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign," clue, right? That's a clue right there. "It is a sign between me and you, children of Israel," right? "Throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." So here's what I'd like to ask those people that say they're a Sabbath keeper and say they go to a church that keeps the Sabbath. I'd like to know, do you kill the people who don't keep the Sabbath in your congregation? How about in your nation? Because this is a national commandment. Exodus 31:14. It's a national commandment. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you are to be cut off from among the people. Execution. Death. Do you think today's Sabbath keepers, so-called, do you think they do that? I don't think so. They say they keep the Sabbath, but they don't. The Sabbath law requires the execution of those who violate the Sabbath. And no one today carries that out. And then down there in verse 17, God states very clearly, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." I'd like to know what proclamation of God transferred this sign between God and Israel to anybody else. The Jews require a sign, right? According to 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Sabbath is a sign. It's so clear. I just don't understand how anybody could get it wrong and suppose that it applies to all men. Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse number 10, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 10. Ezekiel 20, verse number 10 says, "Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt." That's not Christians came out of Egypt. "And brought them into the wilderness." That's not Christians. "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also, I gave them," who? Israel, "my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness." Now you're just dishonest if you don't or won't admit that the Sabbath was given to one nation and not to all nations. To one people and not to all people. You say, "Well, Brother Bob, didn't God rest on the Sabbath day back there in Genesis chapter 1? Or chapter 2, actually? Well, sure he did. But he did not command anybody else to. Okay, I mean, you'll have to show me that. And if you talk to one of these so-called Sabbath keepers, that's what they'll try to throw in your face. So be prepared. God kept the Sabbath back then. He didn't tell anybody else to or to copy him. Show me the verse where Adam was commanded to keep the Sabbath, or where Abel was commanded to keep the Sabbath, or where Cain was commanded to keep the Sabbath, or Noah was commanded to keep the Sabbath. It's not there. It's not there. You can look at Exodus 12:49 and Numbers 15:16, where God says there's one law for Israel. The Sabbath is for Israel. All right, number 6. Sabbath days were to be observed holy. H-O-L-Y, holy. Separated, dedicated entirely unto the Lord. Now listen to where we're not going to go to these, but listen to where the location of these verses are on this, what I just told you. Exodus 16:23, Exodus 20:8, Exodus 35:2, Isaiah 58:12, Jeremiah 17:21-27. Sabbath days were to be observed holy. Now, did you notice how many of those references I just read off were from the New Testament? That would be none. Did you notice how many of those commandments were in the epistles written to the church? That would be zero. You say, "Brother Bob, if the Sabbath day is for Israel, and there's no commandment in the New Testament for Christians to keep the Sabbath, why do people meet on Saturday and say that we have to? And why do people in our churches who meet on Sunday say that they are observing the Sabbath?" Oh, well, I know why. If I tell you, you might say some nasty things about me, though. But I'll tell you anyway. It's because they don't have the slightest idea what the Bible teaches. And they don't care. They don't care. How's that? Number seven, a careful reading of the law will show that Sabbaths were from the Lord. They were commanded as a time of rest from all work. That's what they were. They were not, Sabbaths were not a commandment to go to church on this day or that day. It was a command to not engage in secular labor. Stop chasing money one day a week and acknowledge God. That's what the Sabbath was for. Number eight. And we saw it before. The violation of the Sabbath merited the death penalty. This is in Numbers chapter 15. Let's look there. We already read that was the case. That was the command. Now I want to show you how it was actually obeyed. It was put into action. Numbers chapter 15. And we'll start reading Numbers 15 and verse number 30. 15:30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 31, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, unless you're a hypocrite or a compromiser or just a flat-out liar, that is what you do at your church that meets on Saturday when somebody is absent from the service. And the pastor calls and says, we sure missed you on this past Sabbath. And the man says, oh, I'm sorry, I had to work. Well, then when the congregation finds out about that, here's what they do. They get that man, and they pick up rocks, and they stone that man with stones until he's dead. You say, well, now, but Brother Bob, they couldn't do that. Then they are not keeping the Sabbath. They're lying. See, this is the generation we live in. People just do whatever they want to do, and they claim they're serving God. They just teach whatever they want to teach, and they claim they're teaching the Bible. But listen, hey, if you are not keeping the Sabbath law as God gave it, then you're not keeping the Sabbath law. You're just doing some religious thing that you made up, modified it to your liking. It's pretty easy to understand. If you want to understand it. Number nine, the Sabbath was a memorial of deliverance from Egypt, according to Deuteronomy 5:15. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, The Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Very clear, isn't it? You can't apply it as a memorial of Genesis chapter 1, as they try to tell you, okay? Because man could not have rested on the Sabbath day in Genesis chapter 1, because he had only worked one day when God rested on the seventh day. Because man was created on the sixth day, right? Adam didn't keep the Sabbath. Eve didn't keep that Sabbath. Man didn't keep the Sabbath from Genesis 1. His day of rest and God's day of rest, it wouldn't have been the same day. Got to work 6 days first. Number 10, if you want to venture into the New Testament, let's do it. It is lawful to do good works on Sabbath days. Jesus Christ said so. It's lawful to do good works on Sabbath days. He said so in Matthew 12 verse 2, Matthew 12 verse 12, Mark 2:27 and 28, and Luke chapter 6 verse 9. It's okay to do good on Sabbath days. Number 11, Sabbaths were made for man, and man is not in bondage to those Sabbaths. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 12:8, Mark 2:27, and Luke 6:5. Number 12, there was no observation of God's Sabbath, Genesis 1, after man's fall, as God has since been occupied every single day with man's redemption. God rested the seventh day of creation, Genesis 1. Since that time, he has not taken any days off. Why? Man fell. Number 13. It was over 2,500 years later that Israel was given the Sabbath law. Essential duties performed on Sabbaths include, number 1, offering sacrifices. Numbers 28 verses 9, or verse 9 verse 10, 1 Chronicles 9:32, those verses tell of men offering sacrifices on the Sabbath day. That's work. Number 2, caring for animals was done on or performed on the Sabbaths. Matthew 12:11, Mark 3:4, Mark 13:15, and 14:5. Number 3, the circumcision of children. If it fell on a Sabbath day, you would have to do it. John 7 verses 22 and 23. A child had to be circumcised on the eighth day from birth. If that eighth day happened to be a Sabbath day, that job gets done in the Jewish economy. Number 4, other essential work is allowed according to Matthew 12, verse number 5. Now the Sabbath day will be observed in the millennium, and it will be observed on the new earth. Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 24. Ezekiel 44, verse 24. Ezekiel 45, verse 17. And Ezekiel 46 verse 3. Sabbath will be observed in the millennium and on the new earth. Sabbaths are a type and a picture of eternal rest, according to Colossians 2, Hebrews 4, and Hebrews 10. Now what about the church? and Sabbath keeping. In Romans 14, let's go there. Romans 14. We'll read verses 5 and 6. Romans 14, beginning in verse number 5. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it." In other words, there is no commandment of God to the New Testament Christian that makes one day any different than another. If you want to pretend that one day is different from another, he says, go right ahead, you're free to do so, but don't tell people that you're doing it in obedience to what God commanded, because you're not. And if you don't consider one day more important than another, you're not disobeying God either. That's what God said in these two verses we just read. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, we'll read verses 9, 10, and 11. Galatians 4:9. "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days." All right. We don't, but some do. "And months." We don't. Some do. "And times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." See, he's frustrated. They had Jesus Christ, and they wanted to make a big deal about going to church on Saturday. They were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and they wanted to make their landmark, their calling card, their point of emphasis, what day they went to church. When they felt like it, that is. They didn't even worry about getting stoned if they didn't feel like it. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Probably we're aware of this one. Colossians 2:14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Why would you talk about the Sabbath when you could talk about Jesus Christ? Why would you make a big deal about a day of the week when you could make a big deal about the resurrected Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you build a religion upon a secondary, non-New Testament, not commanded notion when you could be lifting up the glorious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's a curious thing. There's a church in most towns, and they call themselves Seventh-day Adventists, Sabbath keepers. "We meet on Saturday." That's what they say. And they give out literature. And the literature says that Sunday worship, going to church on Sunday, is the mark of the beast. I kid you not. That's what their little tracts say. That's the kind of tracts they pass out. Now, I don't know how you come up with that. How is going to church on Sunday something that you get in your forehead or in the palm of your hand? It's not possible. Nevertheless, they teach that going to church on Sunday is the mark of the beast. So they don't do it. They don't worship on Sunday because that would be taking the mark of the beast. But did you know this? Their denomination allows, and their individual congregations practice renting their buildings to church groups who meet in their buildings on Sundays. So it's okay to give the mark of the beast. It's just not okay to take the mark of the beast, I guess. Now, if I took the mark of the beast, that would be a bad thing. If I gave the mark of the beast, that would make me either that would mean I am the beast or I'm a servant of the beast. It's just a big joke. It's a big joke. Anyway, it's very important that we have a Bible. Thank God we do. It's even more important that we know what that Bible says. And thank God we can know that. But it's still more important that we do what it says. And I hope you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for keeping us straight, for showing us your Holy Scriptures, for helping us to always trust in what you have said so clearly in your Holy Scriptures concerning this topic about the Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the freedom to worship on any day that we want to. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you here in Kuwait on a Friday and on a Monday, or on any day that it's possible that you won't penalize us or call us to be stoned for meeting on the wrong day. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship you every single day. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to stick to your word, to trust your word, to learn more of your word, so that when we're challenged on these kinds of things, we can show from your word exactly what the truth is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.